for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, July the 5th, 2009. Carol McCarroll is the speaker of this service, teaching on A New Creation in Christ.
How many of you are happy?
Amen.
Will you do something for me? Will you notify your face that you're happy? Hallelujah. Some of you doing good, better. Some of you doing good. Amen. Keep that up there. Glory be to God. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. That's what it's all about, folks. Let your light shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Mother, do you have something you'd like to share real quick? Please. Oh, come on. We're going to draft you. Get up here, girl. Amen. Give her a hand. Hallelujah. This is my heart.
We have truly been blessed. I know that God sent us here to minister, but also you receive ministry. Praise God. You know, we've been able to draw away from the world and the things that we have to do daily, and that's a refreshing, and I thank God for that. And so we as Christians just have to draw away and not be taken in by the negative things that we hear and that we see, but we believe God, you know, that this is His nation, and we pray that God will truly be victorious and that He'll take care of everything that needs to be fixed. And we give the Lord credit and praise. We know He's the one that can do it.
Amen. 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 Thank you, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to before we get into the Word this morning for a few minutes, and you might open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at, in a few moments, verses 16 through 21. But I'd like to just simply say something about education. You know, the Word of God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, God laid on my heart very, very early in my Christian life. I was born again in a filling station, gasoline station, on August the 29th, 1959, about 4:30 in the morning, as a young man witnessed to me and led me to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That night, the Lord reminded me of something that I had forgotten about that had happened when I was 5 years old. My parents came from northeast Arkansas up in the Hoxie, Walnut Ridge area. My daddy was a graduate of Hoxie High School. My mother, her folks moved over into southeast Missouri, and she graduated from Poplar Bluff High School in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. But my parents moved to Indiana in 1936, prior to my birth, which came about in 1939. But they went up there looking for employment, and they found it. General Motors was hiring at that time. But they weren't hiring many, but they were hiring. And finally, Dad got on a full-time job. And Indiana was where I was raised. My brother and sister were born there. I was born in southeast Missouri. But God laid on my heart that night that I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. Something had happened when I was 5 years old as we visited my parents, my mother's brothers, in Detroit, Michigan. They lived in Detroit in Dearborn. And that night, God reminded me of what happened on that trip. My Uncle Werner picked me up. I was a five-year-old boy. And he said to me, Carol Chaney, he said, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I looked at my Uncle Werner and I said emphatically, I said, I'm going to be either a preacher or a doctor. And he said, how's that? And I said, well, I said, somebody makes lots of money and doesn't have to work very hard. That was a five-year-old's definition. Anyway, the Lord reminded me of what I said to my uncle that night, that I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. 3 months after my conversion, I answered the call to the full-time ministry. Now, I was, that's what we used to call it. I was still in the military at that time, serving my tour of duty. And I got involved in the church, and Jesus called me into his ministry. And immediately after calling me into his ministry, I knew that I needed to have a better education than what I had. Anybody identify with that? Now, some of you weren't here the other night. This means... And this means? And this means? All right, are you ready? Now, everybody knows that this preacher needs more education. Anybody else here needs more education? All right, it's true. And so I began to write to Bible colleges and tell them how I felt that I needed to go to school. And I, of course, at that time, some way the Lord got me into the Baptist church. And that's another story. I'll just tell you how it started. I was Easter Sunday morning. I'd been out all night. I'm going to tell you what I was doing, but I'd been out all night. And I was standing at the bus stop kind of weaving and waiting for the bus to come by to pick me up and take me back to post. And there was a church right across the street from the bus stop. And these people were going into church as I was standing there weaving. And all the women had on wide-brimmed black hats. And all the men were dressed in black suits. Now, in Indiana, where I grew up, we had a group of Christian folks. They were German Baptists, actually, but they called them Dunkards. And, of course, you know, as teenage boys, we used to call them something else, you know. It kind of rhymed with Dunkards. But anyhow, I was standing there weaving, waiting on the bus, and the thought came to my mind that these people must be Dunkards. They all look alike. They all dress alike. And they're going in their church just like those people back there. Well, that was my thought. That was all the thought that I had about it. Got on the bus and went back to the barracks. Now, a few months after that time, Jesus Christ now was my Savior and the Lord of my life. And I would not go to chapel. I would not go to chapel because I'm sure that this was not the case, but all of the chaplains that I had met were a bunch of drunks just like I was. Hello? I never met one that wasn't. Now, I'm sure there were, but I just never met one. And I refused to go to their chapels. And so I decided that after I'd gotten saved, that I would just be a good soldier. And I would, spit shine my boots, and I'd put starch in my fatigues, and I'd be a terrific soldier. I'd do everything like I was supposed to do. And for a month, I did that. I just read my Bible, and I prayed, and then finally we got paid. Now, how many of you know that the love of money is the root of all evil? Well, we got paid. Got paid once a month. And one of my old running buddies came up to me and he said, Mac, he said, you don't ever have any fun anymore. He said, all you do is sit around and read that Bible and pray. And he said, you don't have any fun. He said, come on, we just got paid. Let's go have some fun. And so I said, okay. We went right back to the same dives, the same joints, but I didn't have any fun. I was like a fish out of water. Hello? Something had happened in my life. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, we came back to the barracks, and I laid down on the bunk, and I couldn't go to sleep, and God began to talk to me. And he said, you need to get in church. And I told him just what I told you. I said, all these chaplains are a bunch of drunks, and the chapels are nothing. I don't get anything out of them. And he said, well, you need to get in church. And I said, well, okay, but I don't know where to go. And he said, well, do you know of a church? And I remembered that bus stop. And so I went, and boy, this preacher got up, and all you Texans, he was an old Texan boy, and he preached with his cowboy boots on. He was tall and skinny, and man, this guy preached. And I thought I was the only one in the congregation. I thought he knew everything about me. Man, I just kept scooting down in that pew, and I felt like a fish out of water, but I knew that I was where I was supposed to be. But as soon as they said amen, I was ready to get out of that place. And I got up to leave, and lo and behold, sitting four rows directly behind me was a guy from my same outfit. And that was his first Sunday there. And we began to buddy up and started going to church, and we just wouldn't miss unless we had duty. We just would not miss. And then the Lord called me to preach His Word. Well, I wrote to these Bible colleges, and they began to write back to me all across the country. And I got a letter back from Southwest Baptist College in Bolivar, Missouri, which is just north of Springfield. Anybody know where it's at? Today is Southwest Baptist University. Anyway, they started writing in this letter, and they said, Dear Brother McCarroll. That's all they had to say. Man, it gripped my heart. They called me brother. And they said, we would love to have you as a student. So several months after that, I now was discharged. I got out. I got discharged, came back, and started a Bible college. Well, I got a whole lot more than what I bargained for. Not only did I get a Bible college my first year, but I also got my first wife. Amen. Amen. Found my sweetheart there. And then we got married that first year. And, of course, we pastored all the way through our education experience. Our undergraduate degree and then a graduate degree, going to seminary, pastored all the way through. And my last year of seminary, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, that's another story, and we'll save that maybe to another time. But I want you to know that being baptized in the Holy Spirit changed my life. It was as a dramatic experience of being baptized in the blessed Holy Spirit as being born again that night in that filling station. Amen. But anyway, God then began to deal with us, and in the education and in teaching ministers, in people to getting in to the ministry, training gospel workers. And then we began a Charismatic Bible Institute, and that was a fantastic thing. God really blessed in that. In 1983, I'd always wanted to work toward my Doctor of Theology degree. Always wanted to do that. But I couldn't find any place where I could do it. They all wanted me to spend some time on their campus. We had five children, and I found one school said, if you just spend a month on campus in the summertime and then do the rest of your work by correspondence. And I said, well, that sounds pretty good, but I said, if I'm going to take a month, I'm going to take a month with my family. And I just wouldn't do it. And then in 1983, we were introduced to the Kingsway Network of Christian Colleges and Theological Seminaries out of Des Moines, Iowa. Some of you have heard of that. And I began working on my doctorate degree. And 5 years later, 1988, I received my earned doctorate of theology degree. And at that time, Dr. D.L. Browning, who was a founder of the Kingsway Ministries, came to me and he said, Dr. McCarroll, he said, I'd like to encourage you to upgrade your Charismatic Bible Institute to a full-fledged accredited Bible college. And boy, that really spoke to my heart, where you can offer accredited degrees.
and not only have accredited degrees where people can come as resident students right here on your own campus, but be able to minister to people across the nation and around the world through correspondence studies. Well, that's what we did. Since 1988, not only we began our church, Heart of America Christian Fellowship, in 1983. We've been there now for 26 years, it seems. Yeah, 26 years. And then in 88, we began our accredited Bible college. We have a Christian school for boys and girls, preschool through the 12th grade, which is also accredited, and we thank the Lord for that. I want you to listen to this. We offer degrees, and we also offer Bible certificates. Now, our degrees are from the associate through the doctorate, and they're in these major fields of study. Theology, which is studying to be a Bible teacher. Pastoral theology, for pastors, missionaries, and evangelists. And then thirdly, scriptural psychology for the counselor. And boy, I want you to understand something. That is one of our favorite degrees. People realize that individuals need counseling, biblical counseling. And whenever I say scriptural counseling, it comes from a Greek word entitled neuenthetical. And neuenthetical counseling or neuenthetical psychology means counseling from the viewpoint of Scripture. Counseling from the viewpoint of Scripture. Praise be to God. And then the fourth one is church administration. Church administration. And the fifth one is Christian education. Now, that's not to educate you to be able to teach in the secular schools. The public school will not accept your degree to teach in from our college, but it is to teach you how to run the Christian education department in your church. Amen. Now, if you want to teach in a Christian school for boys and girls, then we can give you lots and lots and lots of hands-on experience from that. Now, not only is it a resident school, but it's also a correspondence school. And we have students all over the United States. And we've also had some overseas. And people are able to study and earn their degrees and to become what God wants them to become. Now, I hear people who talk about, you know, all degrees and this and that, and they speak derogatory of it. But I want you to understand this. You do not have to lose your anointing when you get a degree. The Apostle Paul was a lawyer. He was a Pharisee. He was one of the most educated men of his day. And who can you find in the New Testament besides our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had any greater or higher anointing than the Apostle Paul? And so I just encourage you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that you need to be studying God's Word. Get into God's Word. There is a deepness and an anointing in knowing the Word of God and studying God's Word that will last you forever. And by the way, for those of you who are in the ministry, we are today in a time where you need to have an accredited course of study under your belt. Churches are requiring that and demanding that of their ministers, and rightly so. Rightly so. We need that. Praise be to God. Well, just wanted to give that with you, share that with you. And if we can help you at all, we'll be glad to encourage you and to help you in your Christian education. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Praise the Lord. May we stand together giving honor to God and to His Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Let's say our scripture together. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then are we ambassadors for Christ, as though God does beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise be to the Lord. I want you to reach over and take your neighbor by the hand. Amen. I want you to pray for that neighbor today. Pray that their heart will be open to receive the good word of God. Amen. As a sower goes forth to sow his seed, may the word of God be sowed in each heart here today. Amen. And bring forth a great harvest. Praise be to God. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. Now we ask that your word come alive through the anointing of the Holy Spirit to each one of us, and that we might take it and use it for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus to win our generation to Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. A new creature in Christ is the title of my message this morning. A new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Looking at verse 16, this is somewhat of an enigma. It says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What in the world does this mean? Well, the Apostle Paul is simply saying by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that do not lean upon the arm of flesh, but lean upon the Lord. Now, there's been times in our ministry that we've had good people in our church that we dearly loved, and they were an asset to the ministry. But for some reason, they left. Whatever the reason might have been. I remember one brother and his family who left, and it just devastated me. Oh, my heart was so heavy, just broken. And I prayed and I said, oh God, what's going on here? And the Lord simply said to me, he said, I want you to understand that you don't lean on the arm of flesh, but you lean upon me. That you lean upon me. And so what should we do? We should lean upon the Lord. We should look to him for our sustenance, for our strength, for our help, for our guidance. The blessed Holy Spirit is available to every one of us to lead us into all truth. And we need to lean upon the Lord. And then he says in that same verse, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, we henceforth know him no more. After the flesh. Now, you know, every one of us, practically every one of us, in fact, I can say this for myself, I knew Christ after the flesh, but I didn't know him as my Savior. I told you the other night that my middle name at one time was Trouble, that I just couldn't be good. I tried to be good, but I just couldn't be good. Anybody else have that problem? All right. Just couldn't be good. All right, goodness. But I went to one of these chapels at a different post one day, and I heard this fella get up and preach, and he preached. He said, you can't go to heaven unless you are water baptized. Well, even though my Trouble was my middle name, I wanted to go to heaven. Amen. With all my troubles, I wanted to go to heaven. And I got to thinking, boy, maybe that's the answer. If I can just get baptized. And so as soon as I got out of chapel, I went right to the office and I applied for a 3-day pass for the next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I traveled all the way from Fort Devens, Massachusetts, which is right outside of Boston, all the way back to Anderson, Indiana, about 1,500 miles. We were supposed to go no further than 100 miles. Trouble was my middle name, you know. Okay. And I had called my mother after they approved my request for a 3-day pass, and I said, Mom, I want to get baptized. She said, what? I said, yes, I want to get baptized. Now, she didn't go any further than that. She just got, oh boy, my boy, the one that I prayed, Lord, kill him before he drags our name in the mud. He's going to get baptized. He's finally going to get into the church. And so she made all the arrangements. She went to the pastor and my son's coming back home next weekend. Can he be water baptized? And of course, they said, of course. And boy, that was a big day for my mother. I'll never forget whenever they immersed me in water and brought me back out. Mother was standing there by the pool and she looked at me and she was, of course, tears were running down her cheeks. It was tears of joy. And she said, son, why aren't you crying? And I remember saying to her, well, Mom, there ain't anything to cry about. You know, I was just doing something. I was just doing something so that I could go to heaven. I went in the water, a dry sinner, and I came out a wet sinner. Hello. Nothing had changed. Nothing had changed. I was still the same old guy. Trouble the middle name. Yeah. But I wanted to go to heaven. I knew Jesus after the flesh. You understand? Some of you the same way. I talked to a man who's not here this morning, already had to leave, who was raised in the Lutheran church, and he said, I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. That's what Paul is saying here. I know about Jesus. I know about Him in the flesh, but I do not know Him. Some of you have heard about people, and you felt like it, you knew them. But then you got to meet them and shake their hand and say, now, I know them. I knew about them, but now I know them. That's what Paul is saying here, that now we know Jesus. Now, verse 17, therefore, if any man, therefore, it says, therefore, if we know Him now, how many of you can say today, I know the Lord Jesus Christ? I know Him. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Boy, you know when people do that, they actually notify their face. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So He says, therefore, if you know Jesus, if any man be in Christ, say in Christ. Oh, there's a lot of difference in knowing about Christ and being in Christ. I saw that girl come into chapel. I've been sitting here watching her for about 3 months. She sat two rows ahead of me. She caught my attention. I knew about her, but my intentions were to get to know her. I remember tapping old Kay Howard, who sat in front of me, who was from somewhere down in the Boot Heel of Missouri, and I said, Kay, I whispered to her, Kay, what's that girl's name sitting in front of you? Kay Howard goes, Carol McCarroll, what do you want to know that girl's name for? And everybody in the whole chapel was turning around looking. I felt like crawling in the hole and pulling the hole in after me. I raised up and said, shut up, Kay, and tell me the girl's name. You see, I knew about Bonnie Sue Fleischer, but I wanted to know her. Do you understand that? And that's the difference. You can know about Jesus, but you got to be in Jesus. Therefore, any man be in Christ, verse 17, he is a new creature. Say, new creature. Say, new creation. Say, I'm new. Old things are passed away. Behold, say it. All things. Say it again. All things. Say it again. All things have become new. Hallelujah. Well, what passed away? The old man. The old man. The old guy. Now remember, before I went into the military, I was one person. When I came out, I was a different person. I remember going to my daddy's business, and of course, there's a lot of hanger-outers always came there to these business. He ran a filling station in a car lot, and the guys would come in there in a loaf, you know. And so I'd been discharged between discharge and leaving for Bible college. I had a few weeks, and so I went to work every day with Dad, and I'd help him. And, you know, all my old friends came in. I got to see them, this and that. And one guy who happened to be with me the night that I gave my heart to Jesus in that filling station, David Bennett, came in. We were high school buddies. That was several years before. David wanted to reminisce about old times. He'd say, Cheney, that's what people call me. He said, Cheney, he said, can you remember this? And he'd tell about some, you know, little dirty, nasty, mischievous thing that we got into. Boys have a way of doing that, don't they? Now listen, ladies, if all you've got is girls in your family, you need to pray that God will give you a boy. You'll really become a parent then. Hallelujah. Hello. But then on the other hand, maybe you ought to just be thankful you got girls. I don't know. But these, David would bring up something and he'd say, do you remember that? And I'd look back and say, no, I don't remember that, David. And then he'd bring up something else. He said, do you remember this one? And I said, no, I don't remember it. And he brought up several things and I had the same answer. So finally he asked me, he said, why in the world do you not remember these things? He said, you get shell-shocked or something? And I smiled and I said, well, I'm glad, David, you finally asked. I said, the reason that I don't remember those things is because the old Carol Chaney McCarroll that you used to know is dead. And there is a new Carol Chaney McCarroll talking to you right now. Now, I want you to know that simply blew David Bennett's mind. He had no idea what I was talking about. You understand that? But the Scripture says, all things have passed away. Hallelujah. That old man, that old nature, that old sinful nature. We got into Galatians chapter 5, 19 the other day. The works of the flesh, adultery and fornication, lasciviousness and uncleanness, and all of those things that are mentioned there in Galatians chapter 19. Those things pass away. You know, the only person that can resurrect those old things, as far as God's concerned, they passed away. The only person who can resurrect that is you. As you begin to talk about those things and reminisce in those things, and then, God forbid, begin to practice those things. Resurrection of the old man. That's why we need deliverance. That's why we need to be set free. That's why the yoke needs to be broken. Hello. And then many times generational curses and soul ties and all the rest need to be put down. But I want you to understand something. When a person is really in Jesus, say in Jesus. Hallelujah. When you're really in Jesus, that old man is dead. That old man is dead. Amen. I said that old man is dead. You say, how do we really get in Jesus? Well, you really repent. Amen. And repentance means not only being sorry for your sins, but it means to be turning from those sins and turning from this way, turning to that way. Change your direction. You say, well, how can I do that? You do it through Jesus. You do it through the blessed Holy Spirit. You do it through the grace and the power of Almighty God. It can happen. You say, I don't know about that. Well, I know about that. Hallelujah. I said, I know about that. Anybody else here know about that? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The old man, put down, passed away. And all things have become new. I love it. And all things, verse 18, are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. Say reconciled.
Reconciled.
Say it again. Reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of, say it again, reconciliation. Reconciliation means bringing together that which was separated, bringing it together, making peace. The Hatfields and the McCoys begin to embrace, brought together. Hallelujah. Feuds and problems and troubles and arguments. You see, through Jesus Christ, we have a reconciliation between us and Almighty God. In the Scriptures, it says that we can come boldly into the presence of God. Did you hear that? Come boldly into God's presence. In the Old Testament days, there was a veil that separated Israel from the Holy of Holies, which was the dwelling place of God. But on the day that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified, that veil in the temple was rent in twain, rent in two, from the top to the bottom. Hallelujah. So that there is complete and easy access for any individual who will come directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Reconciliation, brought together, peace made between sinful man and a holy God. Reconciliation. I'm glad I've been reconciled.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Did you do the best you could do on that?
No.
All right, let's do it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
That's what we need. Reconciliation.
Amen.
And you can get it between you and Almighty God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you just reach up and give Him a hug? Tell Him how much you love Him. Amen. Just whisper in His ear how much He means to you. Amen. Just give Him a great big kiss. Hallelujah. Glory. It's all right to kiss Jesus. It's okay. It's okay. The lover of my soul. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love to worship the Lord. He's so good. He's so wonderful. So marvelous. And He loves me so much. Hallelujah. Oh, to love the Lord. Reconciled. No more peace. No more unpeace. No more strife. But just peace and joy with the Lord. Think about what it's going to be. I mean, this is good, folks. We're sucking honey out of the rock. Amen. It's better than roasting ears with butter on it. Hallelujah. It's better than cornbread and milk. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. But think about what it's going to be. I said, think about what it's going to be. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. We'll have races down the road of life. Hallelujah. Swim in the river of life. Amen. Eat fruit from the tree of life. Take the leaves and put us all over us. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. And spend all eternity with our Lord. And then, of course, I think He's got some things for us to do. I don't know all about that. And I'm not worried all about that. It's kind of like Glenn. You come here and he says, all right, you're up tomorrow. Hello. Or maybe you come in at noon and he says, you're on tonight. Or maybe it's the next few minutes. But I guarantee you, the Lord will have wonderful things for us to do. You know, I like to do it. I like to work. I love to work. I love to work for Jesus. Oh, I love to. Morning, noon, and night. Amen. And so why would it be any different when we go to heaven? But there'll be an eternal rest too. But we'll be busy for the Lord. I guarantee you that. And I'm looking forward to that time. Amen. How many of you like to volunteer today? You heard about the preacher who said, how many of you folks want to go to pray? Want to go to heaven? Hold up your hand. Man, everybody held up their hand. But one little boy sitting back there in the back. Preacher said, well, to himself, he probably didn't hear me. So he read back and he said, how many of you want to go to heaven? And everybody held up their hand but that little boy. Oh, the pastor's heart was broke. He went back and he knelt down beside the little boy and he said, son, he said, did you hear what I said? Yeah, preacher, I heard what you said. So what did I say? Said, you said, everybody wants to go to heaven, hold up their hand. He said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, sure, preacher, I want to go to heaven. He said, why didn't you hold up your hand? He said, I thought you was getting a bunch to go right now. Well, it could happen right now. Almost happened for you right now, didn't it, son? Yeah, thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. By the way, how many got marked for a miracle? Let me see that. Hold them up, Mark, for a miracle up there. Amen. Don't you take them off. Don't take them off. Amen. And you know, the greatest compliment you can give to a minister of the gospel is to preach his sermon. It'll never be the same thing. But you can start marking people wherever you go. Hallelujah. Mark them for a miracle. Amen. And I guarantee you that God, just like God delivered you, son. Amen. You know, Grandpa can replace that old car. Oh, it may take a little bit to replace it. But he can't replace you.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. I'm so proud of you that you had that on. Amen. Blessed be the Lord. I notice he said, I give to you the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation means being brought together, brought together, brought together, brought together, brought together. We need to practice the ministry of reconciliation. Are you listening? We need to practice the ministry of reconciliation. Instead of having division and strife and all of these things and promoting these things, instead we need to bring the peace of God into each other's lives. First of all, we need to win them to Jesus. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is what we need to do. Winning people to the Lord Jesus. But even beyond that, we are new creatures now. We're not the old guy. Not just the old guy. Hallelujah. I'm so happy today that Carol McCarroll is a king and a priest unto God and an anointed man of God. And that whenever I walk into a situation, God walks into that situation. And the same thing is true about you. I was headed to the church one morning. And the telephone came. And Gladys Reese was on the other end of the line. And she said, Mama's in the hospital. Would you please come? Well, I was on the way to the church. I went by the hospital. And there was Gladys Reese and her precious mother. Her mother was in a coma. Her mother was 95 years old. She lived at Pine Tree Nursing Home. I had visited her mother many, many times. And her mother was a born-again Christian. And she was looking forward to going home. But now she was in a coma. Gladys looked at me, and Gladys, by the way, was on my church board. Gladys said, Pastor, pray for Mama. Pray that God heals Mama. Oh, listen. Gladys loved Jesus. I mean, Grandma loved Jesus. She was ready to go to heaven. She had outlived her 70. That's what we're promised, you know, 10 years. And if by reason of strength, even more. And she was, you know, gasping for air. And in my inner man, I said, we just need to pray and release her and let her go on and go be with the Lord. But before I could say anything like that, Gladys cut her eyes at me and she said, pray, Pastor, for God to heal Mama. Well, I knew, Charlie, if I didn't pray for my precious old lady, that my hide would be tanned by Gladys Reese and the church board when she got through with me. And so I remembered like that Romans 8:26, where it says that the Spirit itself brings intercession in our behalf in moanings and in groanings that are unutterable unto man. When you don't know how to pray about something, the Holy Ghost knows how to pray. Oh, I said the Holy Spirit knows how to pray. Hallelujah. Are you facing a circumstance today that you don't know how to pray? I guarantee you the Spirit of God knows how to pray. And so boldly I laid my hands upon this precious grandmother's head and I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, I didn't realize that I was praying as loud as I was praying, but I was praying loud enough that they were standing up, you know, up and down the hall. With their heads bowed, they told me. Probably scared to death. Because here the preacher was in there praying in a different language. Well, I prayed until I was through. Not necessarily got through, but I was through. There's a difference. Some of you understand that. And I did something that I did not intend to do. Had no idea I was going to do it. But I turned to Gladys Reese and I said, Grandmother's going to be okay. The devil spoke to me and he said, this old woman's going to die and your name's going to be Mud. I figured the best thing I'd do was to cut and run. I made an excuse and I said, Gladys, as you know, I was on the way to their church and I said, I need to go. Gladys said, Pastor, I'll walk you to the hospital door. I didn't want that woman around me at all. She walked me to the hospital door, thanking me for coming. Thanking me for praying the prayer of faith. And all I could think of, this old lady is going to die. We got to the hospital door and again I did something I did not plan to do. But I turned to Gladys and I said, Gladys, don't worry, Grandma's going to be okay. I felt so strange. I ran to my car. I got in my car and I sat there in the hospital drive for the longest. And then I drove around town for the longest. And finally, I just went home. When I got home, Bonnie Sue was on the phone, and she said, he's just coming in. Phone had a long extension cord on it. She walked over to me to hand me the phone. I said, who is it? She said, Gladys Reese. I said, tell her I'm not here. Have you ever told somebody to lie for you? Huh? this girl won't lie. Boy, you better. She just kept that receiver out there, you know. Finally, reluctantly, I took the phone. And when I said yes, all I heard was, Hayada Baha Sadamoko, Hayaya, glory to God. And that went on for the longest. Finally, she quieted down and I said, what's happened? She said, you'd no sooner got out of the hospital drive than mother sat up and said, I'm hungry, I need something to eat. That precious old lady lived another 7 years. She went home to be with Jesus in her sleep at 102. Somebody give God the glory. Hallelujah. Fill the house with God's praise. We are a new creature. I said we are a new creature. Hallelujah. And we have the ministry of reconciliation. And the next verse talks about us being ambassadors. Ambassadors. Hallelujah. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador is one who represents one country to another country. An ambassador carries messages from the ruler of one country to the ruler of another country. Sometimes he carries threats and other messages, but he represents that. And I want you to understand something. We are ambassadors of Christ. And where is Christ? Christ is seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. On His throne next to the throne of God. Glory be to God. And He is sending us as His ambassadors. And if we are His ambassadors, then we are heaven's ambassadors to all that we meet. Glory be to God. And notice that Paul said, we spoke to you. We spoke what God spoke to you. By the Lord Jesus Christ. What Jesus speaks, we speak. And as we speak what He speaks, we are speaking the message of Almighty God to those who listen. Do you understand? We are a new creature. Even if we stagger into a hospital room and we think it's this way, whatever it is, His way, if we'll simply be obedient, you can reconcile the world to Christ. I challenge you today, church, to reconcile your city, reconcile your home, reconcile your family to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory be to God, because you are a new creature. Jesus Christ has made you new. You are in Him. I am in Him. And I have the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. And I'm an ambassador for heaven to all the earth. Yes, my God. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet and give God the glory. Give Him the glory. Give Him praise. Magnify His name. Let that heavenly language flow. Let the message of Almighty God flow. Glorify His name today. Hallelujah. Now we're going to have a commissioning service. I want all the ministers to come forward. We're going to have a commissioning service. Hallelujah. All the ministers. Amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Just pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Stir up the Holy Ghost. If you don't pray in tongues, now's the best time in the world to get started. Hallelujah. There's enough faith in this house, my God, to baptize every demon. If they'd simply repent and get saved, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise be to God. I want you men to come over here on this side. And I want you to face the ladies. Amen. Come over here. You men. Amen. Come over here. Stand over here and face the ladies. That's the way. Amen. Now we're going to have a commissioning service. I saw Sister Jerry get her oil. Anoint everybody's hands. Amen. Pour a little oil in everybody's hand. Rub your hands together and get ready. Blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Samuel. anointed David to become king. Amen. He wasn't nothing but a shepherd boy, the least in his father's household. But he anointed him. Amen. And David slew the giant. Amen. Goliath. Hallelujah. And he became the mighty king of Israel. You may be nothing in your own eyes, but in God's eyes, you are something. And today we're going to anoint you and send you out into commissioning service to become what God wants you to become, to do what God wants you to do. You might say, who am I? What can I do? I want you to know something. Through God, we can do all things. All things are possible to him that believes. Amen. The least child here to the oldest gentleman or lady here today, God has a plan for each one of us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. I want you folks to come and make a line. Start right here. Face right down the middle of this line right here. Come quickly. Come quickly. You know, I like to be first in line. Then I'll be sure I get everything that's there. I hate to be last in line because there might not be nothing left. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to be first to get those taters and fried chicken. Amen. And I'm going to get me a steak here before long, too. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the Lord. Raise your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Get them up high. You know, if you get them up high enough, you might get them in something you never got them in before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want you.
The thing you're facing when you go home.
Mm-hmm.
The things you're facing when you go home are dissipate.
I believe it.
In the name of Jesus. I speak to that financial situation right now in Jesus' name. I call it forth right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Now, we're going to bring you through this line. They're not going to take a lot of time with you. He's going to lay hands on you. And you just, that's it. Just come in, stop, and then and let them lay hands on you, pray over you, say whatever they want to say, and then you just move right on out. Hallelujah. Mahaya rabahasaya kabahaya. Now, ministers, if God gives you something for one of these to say to them, you take them to the side and just pour it into them in the name of Jesus. Hayya kabahabahasaya. Reshe me kriyoti kidia tai tai. By the way.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.